Banks Radio Sport.
Good evening. Welcome once more to Friday Sport Preview. Rob Pritchard here with you until 6:30 p.m. to once again delve into the sporting action for the Isle of Man this weekend. So, coming up tonight, after another busy midweek schedule, cup competition in the form of the Hospital Cup and Junior Cup, and the spotlight again in the latest Banks football fixtures. Elsewhere, hundreds of the most promising talents in the sport of cycling are descending on the Isle of Man this weekend for 2 days of racing. And after a huge rise and progress in the last 12 months, the Isle of Man women's national cricket side are in action in the UK from this Sunday. That is all to come this evening. Very good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview here on Banks Radio here until 6:30 p.m. taking a look at the latest football action coming up on the Isle of Man this weekend, as well as looking into the cycling and cricket worlds and what's coming up in the coming days for those. Well, looking in terms of football, it has been a relentless schedule in League and Cup competitions in recent weeks. Midweek matches, weekend matches, we've had the lot and it shows no signs of slowing up at the business end of the season. And speaking of all that, time to welcome for the first time this evening, Tony Meppen. Tony, very good evening.
Good evening, Rob. And yeah, it's down to a cruel winter, isn't it? That's caused all these problems. But we're getting there because we've got to be finished sort of by the end of the month. And we've still got Paul Henry Gold Cup semi-finals and final to do. But yeah, it's getting to the interesting stage now with quarter-finals of the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup and also the Junior Cup as well. So it's brilliant to watch.
It certainly is indeed. Well, let's take a look then at the Saturday fixtures first off. All games kicking off at 2:30 p.m. We mentioned cup competition once again in the spotlight. Very much so. The Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup quarterfinals. 8 teams remaining. And when the draw came out last weekend, we saw some tasty fixtures coming out in this one. And one of those is the one we're going to start with taking a look at here. It's going to be a Western Derby tomorrow. Peel, leaders in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, up against St John's United, Tony.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, maybe St John's would have fancied the chances if one or two players were fully fit and available, but they're not going to be tomorrow. I don't know about Callum Taggart, but certainly Luke Murray won't be playing. And it's, you know, just put a little bit more pressure on them. But they've still got a good enough side in there. Defensively, they've looked good. I've watched them recently, Will Penhorick and Sam Ingham, keeping things nice and tight to the back. And you've just got to sort of, you know, play to your strengths, really, because St John's are underdogs and Peel absolutely flying, scoring plenty of goals. Another good result in the Cal Cup last night for them and plenty of goal scorers. And I think Daniel Bell's team will be just looking to see if they can sort of get past this one. It's an awkward one, definitely. And then play in the semi-finals, get to the final and see if they can win some silverware.
Very well. And then elsewhere over at Glenrothes, a meeting of two sides who've had up and down seasons, both with their own separate objectives. It's going to be Laxey up against Douglas Royal.
Yeah, everything was expected from Laxey, wasn't it? Really, they were the tip by most to lift the league, but it hasn't gone their way. They've got the players there. I noticed on the team sheet recently, Jordan Cooper's back fit again, which is a big, big plus for them, could score plenty of goals, and it's just the important part of the season. As were with Douglas Royal, one or two players back in. Injuries have sort of gone by now, so they're a lot stronger. And I think Michael Fitzmaurice will go into this quite confident that his team can get something. But, you know, Laxey have got point to prove, I think, Rob. And I'm going to go for Laxey just to win it.
Very well. And we talked about a Western Derby. There's also going to be a Northern Derby in the Hospital Cup quarterfinals. And that sees Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. And they're going to be hosting Ramsey.
Yeah, I know this is the first teams, but I watched a cracking game. Ramsey, when they presented with the Combination One title on Wednesday against St John's, because it was nip and tuck. They're absolutely flying Ramsey at one stage.
6-4 win for Ramsey, wasn't it? 10 goal thriller.
It was. And, you know, there's some real golden opportunities for Ramsey to, you know, get plenty of goals. I mean, half a dozen, but it didn't happen. But they got the medals. That didn't sort of spoil the night. But certainly this one in the first team, Ramsey really pushing. And what a big, big game they've got on Tuesday, Ramsey against Ayr United in the league. Massive game, that one. But, you know, against Ramsey Youth Centre, they're expected to win it. But again, form can go out the window. Everyone will know everybody. So there'll be some serious banter going on, that's for sure. It probably helps Ramsey Youth Centre a little bit being played at their ground. It's slightly smaller. But I'm going to go for Ramsey to win it. I just think at the moment the strength of their squad is too good, and Ramsey Youth Centre will find that out.
And then slightly further north, up at Andres Plainfield, Ayr United still very much in the hunt to be challenging Peel for the Canada Life Men's Premier League title. They're going to be hosting a Moran side who, Tony, once again, time and time again, they seem to do it, Moran, in the league at least. When they need the points, they tend to get them, and they've been pulling out some big performances recently.
Well, they have, and they've got a little bit of pressure on them at the moment. But when you look at Moran against Ayr United, recent result, it was very, very close. So Ayr know that is a tough game. Moran have improved so much over the last couple of months, and I saw it coming, Rob, because the personnel has totally changed and they're doing really well. They're good going forward. Defensively, they're strong and, you know, good goalkeeper. He's not the tallest, but my word, he's effective. But I think United will just take the results in this one.
Very well. Then we move into the league fixtures taking place on Saturday. We have five games across the Canada Life Men's Premier League and DPS Limited Division 2, and also three games in DPS Limited Combination 2. Let's turn to those two games in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, and that sees Rushen United at home at Croit Lowy up against Union Mills, Tony.
I'm going to go for Union Mills just to take this one. The reason why, last result, Rushen United conceded an awful lot of goals, didn't they? And don't know what went wrong. I think Andrew Moody's away at the moment, so the manager's not there. So someone will step in and run the team. But I think certainly Ryan Kelly, he's done really well towards the end of the season. It was nip and tuck at one stage where they're going to survive in the league, but they got the all-important points that they needed. And I think they'll have another good result tomorrow. And it just makes it look so much prettier for them with the points on the board, you know, and they're a lot closer to that middle table section with the Rushens, Douglas Rose and Corinthians.
If we're speaking about teams that have been battling for survival throughout the season, well, you certainly can't fail to mention St George's. Huge, huge 3 points for them in midweek. 2-1 win away at Corinthians, albeit the game ending in rather, I think, chaotic circumstances. I think it's fair to say the game abandoned with just under 10 minutes to go. But nevertheless, 3 points on the board. That takes them to within a point of Moran, just above them, just outside that relegation zone. But a big task again for St George's coming up this weekend. They are on home turf, but they're up against St Mary's.
Yeah, it is a tough game. And St Mary's have sort of slipped off a little bit as well. But, you know, recently a game they were struggling and what they were 2-3-0 down, and then they came back and got the result. But St George's, yeah, been thrown a lifeline. And it is disappointing the way it's all sort of happened, really, because, you know, St George's, you know, they're battling for the game and everything and for the game to be abandoned. The FA had a big decision to make and the decision has been made and the scores stand. So, you know, certainly St George's will be looking to see if they can get the points away from St Mary's. And I just wonder, with maybe one or two people back in that team and, you know, Terry Gow's pace there might cause problems. And with St Mary's having one or two players not available, it might just play in St George's hands. Tight one to call. I'm going for a draw.
Very well. And then the three games in DPS Limited Division 2. Now, Onken and Foxdale, of course, still battling away for that Division 2 title. Congratulations to Onken, in fact, from midweek. Promoted back to the Canada Life Men's Premier League after being relegated last season. Managing it without having to kick a ball on Tuesday evening. They were confirmed to be going back up to the top flight after Castletown's 3-2 defeat away at Michael United. Well, the top two in Division 2 in action this weekend. And it is Onken. They'll be travelling to Governors Athletic. Foxdale at home, I should say, against Malou, and also Douglas High School Old Boys hosting Jims.
Yeah, let's have a look at the Old Boys and Jims game, because that's got a bit of bearing as well, Rob, because they're battling for the top four position for the Paul Henry Gold Cup at the end of the season. So they'll be looking to see if they can get the points. I think they will. Jims have been struggling for players towards the end of the season, so Old Boys to win. Foxdale against Malou. Malou beaten last week, but Foxdale flying, aren't they, and scoring good goals and, you know, keeping the pressure on the top of the table. And I think it's Foxdale Onken next Tuesday as well.
It so, is indeed.
What a beauty that Park. One's going to be. But I'm going to go for Foxdale to win that. Governors Athletic against Onken. Onken, I think, will be too strong. Governors physical. They're big, big guys. But I think one or two of them might be missing tomorrow. So that might just play in the hands of Onken.
And just quickly, mathematically, the Division 2 title can't be decided this weekend, but Foxdale, should they avoid defeat against Maluso, win or a draw, they would be confirmed to be promoted to the Canada Life Men's Premier League. And I saw a great stat before by Dean Turton, in fact, so I'll have to give him credit for that, that if Foxdale can secure promotion, it'd be the first time playing in the top flight since the 1995-96 season.
Yeah, it's a long, long time, and, you know, fair play to them, because, you know, certainly they've worked hard. You know, the players have put a lot of effort in. it helped when Jay Chatwood came back, and the one or two players that they've picked up, which has strengthened Charlie Harrison coming back from injury. It's all sort of glued everything together, and you know, credit to them. But you know, against Malou, Malou won't sort of lie down and let them have the result, and Foxtel have to work for it, and I think they will.
Very well. And if we're talking about another title that is still up for grabs, that is DPS Limited Combination 2, still very open at the top at the moment. Three games in DPS Limited Combination 2 this weekend. Onken versus Governors Athletic, Colby hosting Foxtel, and Jims will welcome Douglaston District.
Yeah, looking at Onken, I think Onken are slight favourites to win this one. So I'm going to go for Onken to beat Governors Athletic. Colby against Foxtel. I'm going to go with Colby, and Jims against Douglaston District. I'm going to go for Douglaston District to take the points in that.
And then we move into Sunday, and we mentioned that the cup competition is in the spotlight this weekend, not just the Hospital Cup, but also the quarterfinals of the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup. St Mary's versus Douglas Athletic, Union Mills versus St John's United. We've also got Peel versus Rushen United, and Douglas High School Boys versus Ramsey. So, Tony, quickly, your thoughts on those fixtures.
St Mary's against Douglas Athletic. I'm going to go for St Mary's. I think the young players will be too strong for them. Union Mills against St John's. I watched St John's on Tuesday, and when I saw the team, a lot of players I didn't know, but there's some talent in there, so St John's could make it difficult, but I think Union Mills start off as slight favourites to win that. Peel against Rushen really wants some silverware, and I think Rushen will be too strong. And Douglas High School Old Boys against Ramsey. Ramsey good, Old Boys good. This is, to me, the game of the round. It really is, and I'm going to go for Ramsey just to take it.
Very well. And then rounding out things on Sunday, we have two games in the Masters football, 2 p.m. kickoffs.
Yeah, Laxey against Governors. I'm going to go for Laxey to win. Corinthians against Ayr, that one's just been lost, Rob. Ayr United couldn't field a team, so Corinthians will get the 3 points there.
Very well. And just quickly going back to two things, we'll just with the Hospital Cup quarterfinals, with those games taking place on Saturday, just to let our listeners know, I believe the plan is that we will have the live draw for the semi-finals tomorrow on Saturday Sport Classified.
Yeah, hopefully Carl Gartland's on the island tomorrow, so he'll come up and do the draw for the semi-finals. The semi-finals are played next Saturday, and then on Sunday we're going to do something special. We're going on tour somewhere to do the draw. So we'll let you know that tomorrow when it's all been organised. But certainly the Ascot Junior Cup is just coming to its sort of semi-final stage as well. So it's two great cup competitions. I know it's the end of the season and league games as well, but it's just so nice with the light nights, and you know, the pitch is drying out now. Good crowds, great crowd last night up at Bala Fletcher to watch Corinthians against Ramsey, and I believe a good crowd at Peel as well when they were playing Onken in their Cal Cup game. So just shows people now with the warmer weather are coming out to watch the football.
And just finally, very quickly, Tony, we've got around 60 seconds, but recently over the last couple of weeks there's been a campaign undertaken by the Alaman Football Association regarding respect in the local game, particularly around junior football. So just very generally so far, with the couple of efforts that have been made over the last couple of weekends, what's the feeling been of how this campaign has gone?
I think it's been very good. I think it's educated a lot of people. A few people who could understand why it was, just to, you know, highlight that there's one or two little situations appearing in junior football and it needs to be nipped in the bud now. And well done to Dave O'Flanagan and the crew who put it all together. It's absolutely brilliant, and let's hope it works.
Tony Meppen, thank you very much as always.
Manx Radio Sport.
Moving on, and this weekend, hundreds of the most promising athletes in the sport of cycling are making their way to the island for 2 days of action-packed racing on closed roads. The 2024 Isle of Man Youth and Junior Tour takes place tomorrow and Sunday, and continues to be considered by plenty to be a standout junior competition on the British cycling calendar. What's more, it's been a stepping stone for some major local names in the past, such as Mark Cavendish, Peter Kenyuk, Lizzie Holden and Anna Christian. So what makes it special, and who might be making an impression over the next 48 hours? Well, to find out, we spoke with Isle of Man Cycling Development Officer Rob Holden.
So for this year, the Isle of Man Youth and Junior Tour, so youth and juniors are riders aged anywhere from 6 years old up to 18 years old. This year it's a 2-day event over Saturday the 4th and Sunday the 5th of May. It forms part of the British Cycling National Road Series for those age groups, so you get all the best UK riders. We get some overseas riders, Ireland generally, and obviously all the Manxes, around about 50 Manxes across the age groups involved. So what's unique about our event is, so traditionally in the 10 race UK series, generally the age group we're talking about generally ride on man-made closed road circuits, which are obviously traffic free. But what's unique to the Isle of Man and has been sort of at least the last 20 plus years of this event is that the age group actually get to ride on closed roads, sort of real roads. So it's, from their point of view, it's inspiring for them because obviously they look up to, in this discipline of cycling, sort of Tour de France riders. So it's their mini Tour de France, if you like.
What do you think puts it in such high esteem, do you think, on the British cycling calendar?
Well, like I say, the uniqueness of the courses, really. So it's not something that age group would generally ride on. But I think also, so the event attracts up to nearly 300 riders across the age groups, but clearly, obviously, the parents generally accompany them. So you get, you know, a core group of people of anywhere between 600 and 800 people who travel to the Isle of Man over the weekend. So it's a friendly race, if you like. You know, obviously, the older ones take it a little bit more seriously and they're getting to the pointy end of where they're trying to get to within their sport, you know, so it does get a little bit serious. But, you know, generally we put on a friendly event and on challenging courses, which is, like I say, it's a bit of a USP for the Isle of Man, I think. And it needs to be, obviously, because I think, you know, residents will be all acutely aware of the costs of travel. So people who travel to the event, you know, have to spend quite a lot of money. So, you know, we do have to offer something unique. And I think that's, over time, it has built that sort of reputation of something that's worthwhile coming to.
What are the key skills that this event can help these riders learn across the board that they may not otherwise get elsewhere?
Well, there's a lot of skills. I mean, in terms of, you talk about bike riding skills, so for this year there's a couple of courses around Ellerslie, so that would be deemed a hilly course. So, you know, obviously physically challenging going uphill, but also technically challenging going downhill. If you see, the course is quite technically challenging, obviously riding in large groups on the course. But I think for a lot of these young people, I think it's interesting, really. You know, they've got to be organized, they've got to understand about how they fuel their bodies and nutrition and everything like that, especially once, like I say, once it gets a little bit older and they're starting to try and get into various sort of British cycling pathways, Great Britain teams, professional teams, etc. Because basically what's happening now in road cycling is that a lot of the highest level of teams, the World Tour teams, professional teams, are looking at the under 16s and under 18s for recruitment now, similarly to how football has developed over the world. And whether you like it or not, that is what's happening. So just tend to get a little bit more serious, and you know, young riders need to develop and start to learn to look after themselves properly and be organized, etc. So 2 days of bike racing on the courses that are offered in the Isle of Man is going to challenge anyone. Obviously it's great to see so many young people up for the challenge and still wanting to come over to the Isle of Man.
You've already mentioned that the likes of some of the top young riders from the UK and overseas taking part, but also those from the Isle of Man. So in your opinion, who are maybe some of the names from the Isle of Man to watch out for on this tour?
So if you take the junior category, which is the under 18, 16 to 18-year-old, so we've got an Isle of Man team which is supported by Utmost Financial and Mezzo Management. So we have six riders in there. So we're lucky this year that all six of our junior boys are fairly strong and will be looking to impress, I would say, I would suggest, in their home tour. We've got Owen Collins, Will Kerfey, Kian Howard, James Kinraid, Ori Lund, Ivan Sorby, all capable of a result in this. What becomes more challenging for them is, you know, to ride cohesively as a team, because potentially, you know, they might individually not be the strongest rider in the race, but collectively they're probably the strongest team. So I'm looking forward to see how they manage the weekend and how they get on. Underneath that, you've local rider in the under 16s, Alex Sorby, is a standout there. Lillianne Scott in the girls for under 16s is probably a standout as well as Abby Clayton. And below that, you've got many of the younger ones. Anything could happen with the younger level. But those for me would be the standout Isle of Man riders, I think, to the weekend.
Manx Radio Sport.
And finally, after what's been a real 12 months of progress and success, the Isle of Man Women's National Cricket Squad are returning to action in the UK this weekend. The Women's T20I side are heading to Winchester to take on fellow island nation Guernsey in a three-game series across this Sunday and next Monday. Captain of the Manx side is Alanya Thorpe.
I think there's a lot of excitement within the squad. We've worked hard over winter, and your winter training is where you build up your skills and look to improve different areas ready to take into the cricket season. So obviously cricket season's only just starting. I think we're excited to get out there on the pitch and apply some of the things we've been practicing to game situations and play some of our best cricket.
And in terms of your opposition, Guernsey, so a fellow island nation, what, if anything, do you know about them potentially and what challenges that they might pose to you?
I think, to be honest, we take every game as it comes, and we we go out, whoever we are playing against, we go out to play our best cricket, and we don't worry too much about what the opposition may or may not hold. Every game is different. We'll go out there to try and be the best version of ourselves. Hopefully it will be a good series. Hopefully all three games will go ahead. I'm not sure how the forecast is looking down there for the weekend, but yeah, we just want to go out there, be the best version of ourselves and play some of our best cricket.
Now, over the last 12 to 18 months, there's been some great progress within the Isle of Man women's team, winning the ECN Continental Cup back in August, being crowned Team of the Year at the 2023 Isle of Man Sports Awards back in February. What do you think has been the key to this really solid progress that the team has been making recently?
I think we're exceptionally proud of what we've achieved so far, but there's real drive and ambition to go further and to improve all the time. I think our training sessions is always a really good feel in the squad. We're always keen to improve, to learn from each other, and we're very, very lucky to have the coaches that we have, who are incredibly supportive, very, very knowledgeable, and help bring out the best in all of us.
The coaching there, we've seen success for Greg Wright in the past, and also of course Sally Green picked up two awards this year at the Isle of Man Sports Awards, and also Eddie Beard now coming on board as the community cricket coach with a focus on women and girls cricket. What do you make of the efforts behind the scenes in the coaching side of things and others besides to really put women and girls cricket on the map for the Isle of Man?
I think it's an incredibly exciting time on the Isle of Man for women's cricket. The investment in Eddie Beard's role, the way that cricket is being rolled out as part of the curriculum, not just in primary school, but in secondary school for girls, is very, very exciting. I think we're at the beginning of a very exciting journey for women's cricket.
The fact that there is much more exposure of women's cricket, particularly at the top level, across the water, yeah, further afield, you know, what inspiration and ideas can you maybe take from those playing at the top level to bring into the Isle of Man game to continue growing it?
Certainly, like you say, we've seen across the world, and especially in the UK, just across the pond, things like the 100, where women's cricket has been showcased and put on a level playing field with the men's. It's been televised. It's really, really out there now. And as I say, I think we're at the beginning of what's a very, very exciting journey with lots of potential for any girls who are interested in cricket. There's so much we can do with this. It's fantastic to be a part of. I think there is a lot of depth in our squad. We added to it over the winter, and that's important to have that depth to bring lots of players on the journey, help them to progress. And we have got a very diverse squad at the moment. I think the age range is all the way from around 16 up to, I don't think some of our older players would thank me for sharing their age, but there's things that everybody can bring, some of the wealth of experience of our older players and the level heads of some of our older players, combined with some of our younger players who are really keen. There's some fantastic talent in our squad amongst younger players, and it's just getting in that experience and that game time and learning from each other.
What are the objectives over the next 12 months? What would you like to see this team achieving?
Well, I think we always walk onto the pitch with the aim that we're going to play our best cricket and therefore win the game. From each and every game, you learn things, you come across different scenarios, different situations, you learn from those, you take them into the next game. I think we are just keen to keep progressing, keep being the best version of ourselves, and raise the bar at all times for each other and as a squad, and just see how far we can go with this.
That's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this week. Many thanks to my guests this week, Tony Meppam, Alanya Thorpe and Rob Holden. Have yourself a wonderful weekend, whatever you're doing. Chris Kinley is here with you next. But from me, until next time, it is bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.